Let's go to Matthew chapter 15 tonight. Matthew chapter 15. And I'm going to just show you some things tonight Jesus was thankful for. How about that? If he's our ultimate example, then maybe we ought to look to him. And so I looked at the word thankful just in the Gospels. And then I looked for the ones that were in red letters. And I wanted to hear what Jesus said that he was thankful for. So if you'll turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 15, verse number 36, Matthew 15, 36. You've been seated a while. If you can stand, why don't we stand for the reading of this one verse, Matthew chapter 15 and verse number 36. The Bible says, "And he took the seven loaves and fishes and gave thanks and broke them and gave to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude." Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you would bless, dear Lord, these few minutes of thoughts and a chance to be able to look to your Son, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And Lord, we can learn a lot from the Bible, but anytime we can go directly to our Savior and listen in, Lord, it's a blessing that you recorded these things for us. So, Lord, may we just add a few things on top. Some of the things that Jesus was thankful for, we heard the children say thank you about. And so, Lord, thank you that they're being taught right and taught well. Thank you for parents that worked hard to prepare them. And Lord, they did such a good job. And bless them in a special way for having the courage to be up here. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Jesus thanked his Father for his daily bread. Matter of fact, when he was asked to teach us how to pray, one of the things that he said was that we ought to be thankful for God giving us our daily bread. Hey, we laughed a little bit when the kids would say something about food, but I'll tell you what, I'm thankful for the food that we have. You know, folks, don't forget this, and just take a moment, if you will, tomorrow as you sit at the table and just kind of survey what's on there. And then just kind of let it sink in a minute, folks. We are living in a land of plenty, and we are overly blessed when it comes to the availability of food. I would like to tell you that that's the way it is all around the globe, but it's just simply not. I've had just a few opportunities to be in third world countries, and I will tell you this, the meal that you'll eat tomorrow for Thanksgiving, the vast majority of the world will never see a spread like that and never have the opportunity to enjoy that type of a meal. So Jesus thanked his Father for his daily bread. You know that I tell the story sometime about the two businessmen in the cafe. And they were sitting in there eating steak dinners, and over in the corner, godless men, unchurched men, godless men. A simple farmer came in, sat at the counter. He took his John Deere hat off and set it down and on the stool beside him, and he ordered a simple bowl of soup. And for whatever reason, they were poking fun at him, maybe for the fact that he had on simple clothes and was ordering a simple meal. And then he bowed his head and began to pray. And that really got him. They just thought that was hilarious. And so when he got done praying, one of them said, hey, farmer. He said, yes. And he said, does everybody down at the farm pray before they eat? And he said, oh, no, sir, the pigs don't. The pigs don't. And I say this, the next time that you sit down before a meal and you are tempted not to stop and thank the Lord. By the way, we ought to do it at home and we ought to do it in public. I don't understand Christians that'll pray at home, and then when they get out in public, you're ashamed of Jesus. You ought to be ashamed of being ashamed. But the next time you're tempted to not pray, I hope two words come to mind. Oink, oink, okay? Because you know what? The pigs don't give thanks. The pilgrims left Plymouth, England on September 6th, 1620, sailing for the New World that offered both the promise of civil and religious freedom. William Bradford's first Thanksgiving proclamation was written out. Governor William Bradford's Thanksgiving proclamation, this is what it said. Inasmuch as the Great Father hath given us this year an abundant harvest of Indian corn, wheat, peas, beans, squashes, and garden vegetables, and hast made the forest to abound with game, and the sea with fish and clams, inasmuch as he has protected us from the ravages of the savages, has spared us from pestilence and disease, has granted us freedom to worship God according to the dictates of our own conscience. Now I, your magistrate, do proclaim that all ye pilgrims with your wives and ye little ones do gather at ye meeting house on ye hill between the hours of 9 and 12 in the daytime on Thursday, November 29th of the year of our Lord, 1623, and the third year since ye pilgrims landed on ye pilgrim rock, there to listen to ye pastor and render thanksgiving to ye almighty God for all his blessings. And you know what I say to that? Amen. Well, folks, I like the fact that he's mentioned them by name. Indian corn and wheat and peas and beans and squashes and garden vegetables. And maybe whoever asked the blessing at the table tomorrow ought to just keep one eye open and just start with the turkey and work around to the cranberry sauce and just thank God for every single thing that we've been. You know what Jesus' example was? He said, yes, we're going to feed the multitude, but we're not going to take one bite before we stop and give thanks to the Father. What a great example. Number two, Jesus thanked his Father for people who possess a teachable spirit. Now, of all the things that Jesus might have been thankful for, think about that. If you'll turn over to Luke chapter 10, and we're going to stay pretty much in the Gospels here, so it'll be easier for you to maneuver around. Let's look at these instances. Luke chapter number 10. If you see Luke, get to Luke chapter 10, if you'll look in verse number 21, Luke chapter number 10 and verse number 21. And we read this: in that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, so he's going to stop and thank God for something. Watch this. I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and has revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. And he turned him unto his disciples and said privately, blessed are the eyes which see the things that ye see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. And he stopped here in verse number 21 and thanked his heavenly Father that he had hid these things from the wise and prudent. You know what? Some people have just get so smart you can't help them anymore. They get so smart that they're not willing to listen anymore. They get a know-it-all attitude. You know, sometimes we stop and say, teenagers, don't get a know-it-all attitude, because if you're not careful, you're tempted to during those years. But I've met more adults with know-it-all attitudes than I have teenagers with know-it-all attitudes. You know, it's a sad thing when you get to a point as a pastor. I understand why he stopped and said, thank God some people are hungry for the truth and are willing to listen to the truth, have ears to hear and eyes to see. Because, folks, I'll just tell you this as a preacher, nothing's more discouraging than having studied the Bible and come up here and pour your heart and pour your soul out and see some folks that are sitting there, and you can tell by their demeanor. They didn't intend to hear anything when they walked in the door, and they are determined not to be changed one whit when they walk out the door. Listen, I want to say this. Thank you for being a church that's hungry for the Word of God, that wants to be helped. And so of all the things that Jesus stopped and thanked the Lord for, by the way, Sunday school teachers, can you relate to this? Come on, junior church, primary church, come on, next level. You know what? Can you relate to this? It seems like, you know, no matter what class or what age group you have, you've got some kids that the only reason you can get them to sit still and listen is to bribe them with some candy in hopes that they might win a quiet seat prize. But the whole time you can tell their minds and your hearts are a million miles away. But as a teacher, as you scan that class, you know what? Let's take Jesus's example, because you'll notice those kids that all of a sudden, maybe they didn't at one time, but all of a sudden God moves in their heart and they start locking in. And young people, one of the greatest gifts you can give your teachers and your pastor, and by the way, Many of you were thankful for your Sunday school teacher. I love to hear that. Thankful for your primary and junior and next level teachers and preachers. Let me tell you something. One of the greatest gifts that you can give a preacher or a teacher is to sit there with a hungry spirit, wanting to learn, wanting to listen, wanting to be helped. If you have a teachable spirit, you know what? It will save you from a lot of heartache. A country grandmother was giving the rules of the farm to the four of her visiting city grandchildren. You got the picture? Country grandma, four of her grandchildren visiting from the city. The youngest of them had a terrible time listening and attending to instruction. The grandmother pointed out repeatedly the danger of seemingly harmless strands of wire that surrounded the cow pasture. That, my sweet children, is the electric fence. If you touch it, you will not enjoy the experience. The youngest boy was enduring his grandmother's instructions, half listening and anxious to run and play. Timothy, did you hear what I said about the electric fence? Yes, grandmother, please now, can we go and play? Go on, but heed my warning. Timothy shot across the yard, chasing the dog and the chickens, free at last from the lectures of his tedious grandmother. 15 minutes later, a child's painful scream broke country peacefulness, followed by such crying and wailing as you ever heard. Grandmother sat on the porch and watched Timothy running in tears for the house, holding his wounded hand. Listen, she looked over at the other children and said, "Those who fail to listen must feel. You know what? One of the blessings of life and one of the things that will help you the most is to always bring to church, always bring to your class a teachable spirit. By the way, gift that also to mom and dad. Every day, give as a gift to your mother. Aren't you glad so many of the kids were thoughtful? And I know I limited it to three things, and not all of them could cover everything, but I was glad to hear moms and dads mentioned on a regular basis. You know, young people, it'd be a shame if you come to Sunday school and listened to a teacher and came to church and listened to a preacher and went out to junior church and listened to Brother Young and went home and didn't listen to mom and dad. Listen, they're the most important teachers in your life. And so give them a teachable spirit. Turn, if you will, to Luke 18, and we see the word thankful in a parable that Jesus was teaching. Luke chapter number 18. And verse number 9, Luke chapter number 18, and verse number 9. We read this, and he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Now we're going to hear somebody say thank you, but I want you to listen to what he's saying while he's saying thank you. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, "God, I thank thee." Okay, what's he going to thank God for? "God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess." And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift so much as his eyes into heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Notice what Jesus says at the end of this parable, verse 14. "I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, but he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." Now, here we see that Jesus condemned people who exercise, listen to this term here, hypocritical thankfulness. Hypocritical thankfulness. Folks, let me tell you this. Thankfulness should never be used as a disguise for prideful arrogance. Did you hear what he said there? He used a prayer opportunity. He used a thankful testimony type opportunity to put down somebody else. Now think about that. using a thanksgiving prayer to promote oneself before God or man is a gross, gross misuse of supposed gratitude. True thankfulness is always offered from a humble heart, never a proud heart. And so the Pharisee was using thankfulness as a way to put down someone else and exalt himself. By doing so, he was placing himself, according to what Jesus said, in the crosshairs of God's judgment, because he said, if you'll exalt yourself, God will reach down from heaven and see that you're humbled. But if you'll humble yourself, you know what? God can reach down from heaven and see that you're exalted. So be careful of using thankfulness or a chance to give a testimony, think about that, as an opportunity to exalt yourself. I wish I could say that I've never heard that in the house of God, but I'd be lying. Now, thank God I haven't heard it very often, but I've had preachers open up a testimony time to the congregation and watch and listen to certain people use that opportunity to basically brag about how wonderful they are and how great they are and how much they're doing for the Lord. Folks, listen, never use an opportunity to express thankfulness as a way to try to exalt yourself. Or think about this, never use it as an opportunity to take a cheap shot, come on now, at another Christian. In doing so, you rob God of glory and demean yourself. Think about this. Not only do you rob God of glory, but you demean yourself in the eyes of spiritual Christians. You know what? I've never heard somebody do that where they were not lessened in my viewpoint. You know, as they exalt themselves, they're lessened in the viewpoint of others. And so a Sunday school teacher, I like this illustration. Listen up, kids. A Sunday school teacher was teaching her fifth graders. How many's in fifth grade? Raise your hand. All right, a few of you there. Was teaching her fifth graders on the subject of thankfulness. There was a girl in her class by the name of Martha Jo, who was notoriously jealous and hateful to the other girls. When the teacher asked each student to stand and give a testimony of gratitude, Martha Jo stood and said, "I would like to thank the Lord that I'm not as ugly as Betty Sue." Yikes. Oh my goodness. The teacher was horrified and began to reprimand the girl when Betty Sue stood to her feet. When Betty Sue stood to her feet and interrupted, "Teacher, it's all right. It's true. I'm not nearly as pretty as Martha Jo. I am thankful that I have two eyes that can see, a mind that can think, legs that can walk, ears that can hear, and hands that can serve. I'm also thankful that Jesus saved me when I didn't deserve it." When she sat down, the room was so quiet you could hear a pin drop. A boy from the back of the room whispered loudly to his friend, "Martha Jo may be a bit prettier, but Betty Sue is a whole lot better. It's a whole lot better." You know what, folks? I think I'd rather humble myself so that God could exalt me than I would to exalt myself so that God would have to humble me. Let me give you one more. Go to John chapter number 11, if you will. These are just a few that I picked out. You can have fun doing a little bit deeper study on this. It's wonderful to see what Jesus was thankful for and when he used the word thankful and what he taught us by doing that. John chapter number 11. John chapter number 11. If you look in verse number 33, John chapter number 11 and verse number 33. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, John 11, 33, "When Jesus therefore saw her weeping and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled and said, 'Where have you laid him?'" Now let's stop. Where are we at, folks? This is the story of who died in this story. Because Lazarus, right, okay. "And they said in him, 'Lord, come and see.' So Lazarus is dead. He's been buried. Verse 35, Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, 'Behold how he loved him.' And some of them said, 'Could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died?' Jesus therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. And Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, here it is, folks. Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which standeth by, I say it, that they may believe in that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound with hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. Did you see that? Did you see what he thanked the Lord for? When he lifted up his eyes to heaven, he prayed and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast what? Heard me. I don't know about you, but let's close the night out with this thought. I sure am thankful that God hears me. I am so thankful that no matter what's going on in my life, you know what? No matter what burden I'm carrying, no matter what problem we might be facing, me and Cheryl or our family, no matter, you know, what's going on at the church, you know, I'm just glad that I can go to a Heavenly Father that's never too busy. You know, if you call me, it might go to voicemail. I've never called God and had it go to voicemail, you know. I mean, you know, you call, well, even your wife or your husband, you might have to leave a message, you know. I'm so glad, you know what, that you never have to leave a message. And, you know, folks, I'm so glad that God hears our prayers. And I want you to be reminded of this. He cares about what's going on in your life. I may not know it. You may not know mine. And you may say, well, preacher, nobody cares. That's not true. That is not true. You may get to a place in your life where it seems like nobody cares here on earth, but you've got a Heavenly Father that cares. And I'm just so glad that I can go to Him. By the way, so can you. With a burden, I mean the heaviest burden that you're carrying. The one thing that sometimes you just wonder if you're going to be able to get through the day because of the heaviness of it. And I can tell you this, you can stop, you can bow your head, you can bend your knee, and you can cry out to your Heavenly Father. And the first thing you can say to Him, if you want to, because Jesus taught us to do it, was this. Lord, I sure am thankful that you're listening right now. Because I need you. And you know what, folks? When you need Him, He's always there. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for what we've experienced tonight. An unusual service, Lord. I thank you for the uniqueness of each of the young people. Lord, everyone have been wonderfully and fearfully made. Every one of them you've given a unique personality to. And Lord, every one of them was a blessing to the church tonight. And Lord, so thank you for their courage to come up here and publicly thank you for some things in their life. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that the spirit of thankfulness that we're feeling right now and the things that we've learned from your son while he was here on earth, I pray, dear God, that those things would season and flavor, Lord, the rest of tonight and tomorrow and into the weekend. And Lord, may we many times in the next 24 hours just pause and whisper upward something that we're thankful for. Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' name.